The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program is sponsored by Cleveland Right to Life and is responsible for its content.
Welcome to From the Median, a daily report from the front line of the pro-life movement, discussing two worldviews that are driving our culture in opposite directions. From the Median asks, which side of the road are you on? What direction do you want our culture to go? Tune in as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life. And now your host, Molly Smith.
Good evening and welcome to From the Median, where we are concerned with the middle ground, not just to understand both sides of an argument, but also to awaken the consciences of those who are neutral or indifferent to this, the greatest civil rights movement of all times, the pro-life movement.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining me. And I'm so happy to be with you, all of you here today, and also very excited to be here with my guest, Toni McFadden. Toni is a great pro-life advocate. She is an author, she's a speaker, and she has such a great and wonderful story to tell. I first met her virtually on my main podcast that I do, my personal one. I've had her on a couple times, and she is really a fantastic guest and speaker. And I want to welcome her to Molly Smith's show From the Median. And thank you, Toni. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. It's good to see you again.
Yes, absolutely. So I want to get right into your story, because your story, when I first had you on, I didn't even fully know your story. And I remember, and it's been 2-3 years since I had you on the first time, the second time you came on to talk about your book, which we'll also talk about because it's excellent. I didn't know your full story. And I remember sitting here listening to your story and just realizing where the story was going. And I remember my mouth dropped. And it was just shocked. It was such an amazing story. So yeah. Maybe let's just first start with that, because I think everyone's going to go on, oh my gosh, I got to hear this story. So right. Start with that. Start with your story of ultimately what got you wanting to share your story to others to help them make choices.
Mm-hmm. Well, my senior year in high school is when I faced my own unplanned pregnancy. And just like any teenager who faces this, you're scared, you don't know what to do, and you need really your parents and adults who are going to speak truth over you in that moment. But we know from the abortion industry, their goal is to gain funds, money, off of the vulnerability of women. I wasn't as educated as I am now. But I was about 7 weeks along and went to an abortion facility about an hour from my house with my boyfriend at the time and my best friend. And I was given the popular chemical abortion pills. Now, this was 1999. They were still not even FDA approved at this point, but they were still giving these pills out. And I just experience similar to what women who have taken these pills have gone through. This is not a quick fix. This is not just taking pills and everything is just fine. My pills ended up not working and I ended up hemorrhaging almost a month and a half after taking those pills. So the trauma of that, you know, taking those pills by myself as a teenager, my parents having my boyfriend breaking up with me the day after he brought me to the abortion clinic. And long story short, God does not waste anything. And that's what I love about the Lord, is that he will use our greatest pain to liberate other people and to show why he exists, why we exist. He will take all of that pain and use it. And he did that for me shortly after I had had the abortion. About 3 years later was when the Lord rescued my heart. And I just knew that my story was not just about me. It was also about helping other women not walk that path. And so this has been a passion of mine. But not only that, when I say that the Lord does not waste anything, he is a redemptive God. And not only did he save me from myself, save me from my sins, but the same guy that I had the abortion with came back almost 10 years later to apologize to me. And the most beautiful ending is that I ended up marrying that same guy, and we have four beautiful children together. And we were also able to honor our unborn baby at our wedding, to let our guests know that every time we share our story, we believe that our child is no longer a statistic, but that God is using their voice to help others not take the same path we walked, or also to choose life. And so this is why I'm very passionate about speaking on this, because I know what it's like to be on that other side and to be that girl that's vulnerable. And so I'm able to speak, I think, in a compassionate way, but also with conviction as well, that I wouldn't be able to speak on this if I didn't have the truth of Jesus Christ. So.
Yeah, that's so now all of you. Yeah, yeah, I know it is. And you're, you know, you go through, obviously, in your book is called Redeemed, and anyone could buy it. You know, just look it up. Tony, T-O-N-I McFadden. Yes. It's called Redeemed. And so all of you listening, that was the story that I heard when I first heard that with Tony. And I didn't know that your future husband ultimately was the man with you that broke up with you, and then 10 years later comes back, you know, so it's a testament to you, of course, this story, and also to him. And to anyone who follows Tony on social media, which I would suggest that you do, she has great posts and a beautiful family too, by the way. Always good to see those pictures that you post. I want to go into a few other things that always pique my mind. And I think that, you know, you as a college student, someone who was, you were in college or high school? I forget.
I was in high school. Yeah.
Senior. You were in high school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you were young, and you were essentially lied to about what abortion was and what it would do, and maybe how it would make you feel and the like.
Right.
And, my belief is that it'll happen today to everyone, not high school students or college students, but to everybody. Do you agree with that? Second, what do you think are the lies that are told now?
Right. Oh, definitely. They're being lied to. The abortion industry has never been honest about abortion. I mean, even the word abortion they can't even say that it's taking an innocent human life. Like, they use euphemisms, because if they really expose the reality of what abortion is, people would not do it. I think exactly what Live Action is doing on the streets when they show those videos to people and they're like, oh, I didn't know the procedures were like this. They don't tell you what the procedures are going to be like. And so they have to lie in order to have their financial gain, because that's their only purpose. This is not about a woman's rights to choose for her body. This is really, I think it's been built on a lie from the beginning. And so it's never going to be safe to take the life of an innocent child. Who is it safe for? You know, they used to say safe, legal, and rare. It's not rare, obviously, when millions of babies have lost their lives to this. And so I think that they have to lie about this because it's so barbaric. There's such an injustice to our most vulnerable in society. And so in order for them to continue to push their agenda, their propaganda, is they can only lie about it. Because if they were honest with it, I don't think as many people would be for abortion.
Yeah, it's so crazy to me to think that, you know, to do just about anything, take a Tylenol, an Advil at school, right? To do so many different things is required for someone who's young. Even as adults, if you go get a medical procedure, major. I remember I had I tore my Achilles tendon, and you know the doctor had to tell me all the options: surgery and what that means,
right.
Surgery and what that means, all the ins and outs, and gave me every bit of information so that I could make the choice. And ultimately, I did. But in the one area of medicine where they don't want information is in abortion.
Yes.
You know, it's always crazy for me. It's insane. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, you know, you credit your faith as bringing you back in. Is faith the only way back from someone who either was pro-choice or is healing from an abortion?
Personally, I think you cannot fully be healed or forgiven without the saving work of Jesus Christ. I think that, sure, you can be pro-life without having to have a faith background. I think because it's common sense too. You don't kill innocent people. I have friends who are atheists who are pro-life. So on that aspect, but it can only go so far. For a woman who has done the unthinkable, because it really is, when you step back and you think about what, and I'm right along with these women, we took the lives of our own flesh and blood. There's a depth of trauma in that psychologically that I don't think you can just hope it goes away. Have like self-help talk could only go so far, because most women are pushing it down and pretending like it didn't happen, but it's affecting you in your body on some level, only physically, but spiritually, because we're all spiritual beings, whether we want to claim that or not, we are. And so I was never free until I gave my life completely over to God and saw the depth of my own sin. It humbles you. And you realize you need a savior. Like, you need someone outside of you to rescue you from that. And it's the only way and the only reason why I can stand up in front of, you know, thousands, hundreds of people and share the darkest part of my life is because I know who I am in Christ, or I would be condemning myself all the time.
Right.
No. So I do not think if a woman came to me and asked me, how could I be forgiven for this? How could I be set free? I would be lying to her if I told her, like, if you just say this and you just believe and you just know, you need Jesus Christ to cover you. So, yeah.
So, okay. So ultimately you had this sort of conversion and, along with your, future husband at the time.
Yes.
When did you first start becoming sort of active in the pro-life movement, and and where did you start?
Yeah, it started a couple of years after I became a believer, because I thought that was the one thing Christians weren't going to forgive me for. So I sort of just thought, I'll just keep it between me and God. And as I mentioned earlier, our testimonies really aren't about ourselves. It's about sharing hope to other people. And the Lord really, he's so patient, because I don't think 3 years before I would have been ready to tap into that part of my life. But now that I look back, he was gradually getting me there. Because he's so purposeful and he's detailed and he knows. So he dismantled that lie for me that Christians would never forgive me. And the way he did that was, I met a girl from my church who, at the time I didn't know she worked for a pregnancy resource center. But she would speak in schools, in middle schools and high schools, on saving sex for marriage. And she was trying to grow this team. And she had heard me speak somewhere just on the topic of waiting, because I would speak on that, but I never talked about the abortion part. And she met with me, and I remember sitting there and listening to her speak, and then her telling me, yeah, I work for a pregnancy resource center. And that moment, it was like the Lord tapping on my heart and saying, it's safe to tell her this, because I had never told anyone. And I don't know, remember how it came out, but I remember sharing that part of my testimony to her and seeing her so emotional from it with compassion towards me. And I will never forget her saying to me, "Do you know how many girls need to hear that story?" And all of a sudden in that moment, it didn't become about me. It became more about other people and how I would never want any other girl to have to endure this kind of regret. And so that started the journey where I would share it in a classroom. I think I started at the most difficult audience you could possibly start mm-hmm. with is teenagers, you know, yeah. But I would, you know, share this story. And I saw the impact right in front of my eyes of these kids. Teenagers were longing for authenticity because they're being fed so many lies about sex, about relationships, about abortion. And here I am sharing both sides of here is where I was before. And now I'm doing the opposite and I'm seeing the benefits and I'm actually walking it out. So I'm not just saying it, like I'm living that out. And I think that really impacted them. But I never thought I would be on like main stages speaking about my story. So
that's yeah, just- well, so, okay. So you go from that to eventually, and I believe it was 2022 or 23, yes, the right March for Life. Yes. Here's Tony in Washington, D.C. As one of the speakers. So tell me mm-hmm. about that and that experience, because that's impressive, yeah, and really amazing.
Yeah, I just remember I had gone to the National March for Life for a couple of years, being on the audience side, just being like, this is so amazing. And I didn't even dream of thinking I would be up there speaking one day. But this is what I want to encourage people. It's in the obedience. It's in the obedience and the little things that God begins to open, you know, more doors that you don't even know are possible. And so I had teamed up with Students for Life of America, and they would have me sometimes come to Washington, D.C., and share if they were trying to pass a law or whatever it was and they wanted a testimony. And I just happened to share on a day where the president of the March for Life was there, and she heard me share my story. And she ended up getting her people to contact me. And I will never forget getting that email request of if I would like to join to be one of the speakers. And I just like it just made me look at God like, why would you choose me to do this? Mm-hmm. But I'm so grateful and thankful, and for it to be such a historical time that it was right before Roe v. Wade was overturned. And it was just amazing to be on that stage with my family behind me, mm-hmm. and to see a sea of people that love life, that are, it's not the narrative you hear right. being promoted to us. But when you go to that march, if you see, oh, we're not really that outnumbered at all.
Right.
Really, we're not. Because right. I've gone to the women's marches, and theirs do not have pulled this kind of numbers coming from right. there. And so that was truly a gift. And God showing me he's always redeeming. Like, it doesn't just stop. He's constantly redeeming.
Yeah, that's such a great story. I love it how you go from, you know, the way, if you look back to the beginning, right, of where you started to next thing you know, you're on the stage at the largest pro-life rally,
yes.
and maybe the largest rally in the, you know, in the country mm-hmm. in general, even though the media doesn't cover it that way. They pretend it right. didn't happen or it doesn't happen, you know, but it did. And so yeah. then you also, if that wasn't enough, Tony, to be out there, put yourself out there, which is a tough thing mm-hmm. to do, yeah. talk about this story, right? That's mm-hmm. not an easy thing. It's not easy for your husband. Your kids right. were there, so they know this story. Mm-hmm. You also wrote a book. So yes. tell us about what caused you, what the process was of saying, I want to write a book, and and also, of course, where people can get it.
Yeah. Well, the process of writing the book was mainly when I would go and speak at a lot of banquets, they would want to hear me speak more, or they had more questions. Mm-hmm. And I've known that I should write this book for a while, but it's, even though it's your own story, it's very difficult to sit down and try to write it out in a way that encapsulates everything, like from beginning to end, and all the details that you don't want to miss. And so it took me over a year or so, probably. And of course, great editors to help me pull out things and elaborate on things. And so I had a great editor that helped me to do that. But really, the purpose was, there was a couple of purposes. Number one, I wanted to get it into people's hands that would never, ever hear my story. Maybe they never would never hear me speak, and it would be a resource for them. It would also be a resource for women who have had abortions in their past and not know how to articulate it or put it in words what they've gone through. And maybe mine could be just a little picture of that for them. And third, I think I want to leave a legacy for my children to know why I did what I did and why I do what I do now. So my kids, like I said, they know my story, but I think as they mature and as they get grow older and they really understand the concepts, I always want them to be able to look back at my book. If they're battling through things and they're getting different messages from the world, they have this, and it's my voice speaking to them. It's not other people, and my voice and their father's voice mean the most to them, outside of God, obviously. But, you know, I want them to hear that from their mother's heart, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yes. So the book is, at Amazon, the book is called Redeemed. My Journey After Abortion. And it's again, Tony, you could actually go to your website, TonyMcFadden.com, T-O-N-I, McFadden.com. So I would suggest everyone go there, get the book for yourself, get a copy for someone to give it to. You know, all this controversy about what's in the libraries in our schools, you know, take this book and others like it and put it in the library of your kid's school, you know, and just let it be available to people. Because as you said in the beginning, you know, especially young people are not being told the truth. And I think that they're yearning for it when they hear a story like yours and they see someone like you share your story, which, again, is not an easy one. A lot of people want to hide what happened. And instead, you're coming out. So that is really fantastic. Just as a quick question before we finish, and how, and again, share what you're willing or able to, have you gotten any pushback for your stance, your book, the talks that you do, or have your kids, like in your community or your school, said, hey, you don't bring that stuff here. Oh, there's the pro-life lady. Have you gotten anything like that?
You know, I have not gotten anything like towards my kids. We in a smaller area. I think the kids like think I'm famous or something. I don't know why. I'm like my oldest, two that are in middle school, they say that all the time because some of their friends stalk me on Instagram. So they're like, Mom, they think you're famous. So I'm like, well, at least they're hearing truth. They may come from that aspect, but I mean, I'm on my kid's school board too. So, I want people to know who I am because they're hearing it out of my mouth, not what they perceive me to do. Because obviously a post on social media is one part of you, but it's not all of it. And so I try to be as authentic as possible and try to meet people in the community and not be ashamed of what I do. People know what I do, but they don't talk about it really that much unless we do a one-on-one conversation. But the only time I've really gotten pushback, which is really a shame, is trying to get into Black churches or HBCU campuses. So that's been probably my hardest audience, which is so detrimental to the Black community, because we live in a society that wants to bring up the race card in every area, except when it comes to abortion, where it actually really counts. So that's probably the most pushback I would receive.
No, that's good. That's good insight. You know, Black lives matter, except in the womb, as they say.
Yeah.
And so really great stuff. Again, Toni McFadden, Toni with an I. Her book is called Redeemed, My Journey After Abortion. Please check it out. Follow her on social media. And Toni, thanks so much for sharing your story with me once again, and for coming on this great new platform that I'm on here with Cleveland Right to Life. So thanks so much, Toni.
Thank you so much.
Don't go anywhere. I will be back with you right after this very short break with another world-class, inspiring guest.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.